Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 12 to 15. In verse 12 it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. And we just thank you for the work that you are doing within us, that you've committed to do. And we just thank you that you don't give up on us. And we just pray, Lord, that we would understand all that you seek to do and how you're trying to help us. Just help us to yield to your work. And just help us to learn to be thankful as your people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as believers in Christ, it is important that we understand and it is necessary that we be reminded that God is doing a good work within us. He's working to transform us all into Christ's likeness through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he's not doing the work from the outside in, he's doing the work from the inside out. He's working on our hearts to bring about lasting change, because that's, it says a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. And so God knows that that's where things have to start. Changing our attitudes, changing our perspectives, changing the ways that we even kind of respond to different challenges of life. And so it's necessary for us to recognize our hearts need to be changed. And sometimes what happens is God uses his word or he uses different challenges in life that we react to poorly to kind of help alert us to the fact that, okay, there's areas that I need to deal with, areas that I've maybe been ignoring, that God is putting his finger on, and there's a reason. And we, once he does that, we want to not fight him, not resist him, not argue him. We want to submit to what he's doing. Because it's not only for his glory, it's for our own good. He is trying to help us. That he knows that if things aren't dealt with, that it can be an area where the Satan can get an advantage over us and cause a lot of havoc in our lives. And so he's working to help us gain greater and greater victory. And so we've considered various facets of his work in us already. We think of how he wants to cleanse our hearts. He wants to strengthen them. He wants to comfort them in times of sorrow and grief. As well, he wants to learn to give us hearts full of joy. He wants to give us hearts that are united and not just kind of scattered and going madly off in all directions. And last week, we considered how he wants to give us hearts that are ready to forgive others. That for our own sake, as well as for them, we need to learn to be able to do that and not be burdened down by bitterness and lose out on much of the joys of life because of that. But today we want to consider another aspect of where God wants to take us and what he wants to make us to be. And that's the thought here that we see that he calls us to be thankful. And God wants us as his people to have thankful hearts. And it is at this time of year that we're reminded to give thanks for all that God has provided us through the year, for all that he has given us, that traditionally, normally at this time of year, of course, harvest is done, and we're thanking the Lord for the harvest that we've been blessed with. And certainly with our gardens, we're thankful for the potatoes and carrots and squash or whatever else that we're able to harvest. For that. Farmers, of course, are not quite done harvest, but they're thankful for what they've gotten in and hoping to get the rest in fairly quickly. But it's, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we recognize our forefathers had a lot of wisdom in making this part of the calendar. We realize we need that reminder to be thankful, to take stock of what we have and just to give thanks to God for that. But yet we realize our giving of thanks should by no means be limited to just one day of the year. We should not have spent the first 9 months of this year griping and grumbling and complaining, and just to pause briefly tomorrow and say a few words of thanks, and then go back and spend the rest of the year grumbling and complaining again. That's not what it should be, especially for us as Christians. Giving thanks should not be a once a year event. Really, it should be a daily habit for us. And it's the thought that we have here is that we should be thankful, where we are full of thanks to overflowing. That you think of it, that you can have a glass when it is full right up to the brim, that if anybody bumps it, what happens? The water spills out. That's how God wants us to be with thanks, that we're so full of gratitude and showing our appreciation of God for what He's given us, that even when we're bumped, it isn't kind of complaining that comes out. Instead, it's thankfulness that comes out. That's what we want to have in our lives. That's what God is trying to develop in us, that no matter what happens in life, that we're able to have that attitude of gratitude. We're able to find something to be thankful for. We're able to keep having that. And so that's the idea, that it's a thankful heart that the Lord is working to develop within us. And we see this in this passage that we've looked at this morning. And it speaks of things that we need to, having put off some of the things of our old life of bitterness and uncleanness and deceit, that we put on the new man. And so we put on mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and long suffering, where we learn to forgive one another. We learn to show love one to another. And it speaks there in verse 15 of having the peace of God rule in our hearts, and that's actually what we're going to talk about next week. But then we see at the end of verse 15 that God's call is that we are to be thankful. And as we look through the scriptures, we see this desire God has for us, this command He has for us, is repeated in many different places. In the Psalms especially, we see it repeated many times. First off, we see in Psalm chapter 97 and verse number 12, where He says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." That's what we're called to do, is rejoice in the Lord and to be giving thanks unto Him. We see just across the page, and of course we began this morning with this passage, verse number 4 of Psalm 100. It says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." That as we enter in to worship Him each Sunday morning, that's the attitude that we want to have of thanksgiving, where we're full of thanks unto God for all that He is, for all that He's done for us. We see as well in Psalm 136 that the first three verses of that passage call on us to give thanks. Psalm 136, beginning verse 1, says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." And it's kind of the thing, in the scriptures we realize, any time God says something, just once, we know we need to listen, and it's important. And He doesn't waste words. But we realize if He's repeating something like this, we realize it's important. He's trying to pound it into our heads. You need to learn to give thanks, and you have good reason to do so. And we see not just in the Old Testament, we also see in various places in the New Testament a call for us to be thankful. Ephesians chapter 5. We see a couple verses there that speak of thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5. It talks of different things that are not supposed to be in our lives as Christians. Verse 3, it says of Ephesians 5, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. That's laying out. There's conduct that's unbecoming of us as Christians. And it should not have place in our lives. But there should be something else that is in place. It is, we're not Christians just based on what we don't do. There's something that we should replace it with. And a lot of these things, we see that thankfulness is a complete opposite to them. We see as well in verse number 20, it talks about we're to be filled with the Spirit, we're to speak each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That it's the idea that thankfulness is something we're to be doing all the time. And it's for all things that happen to us. As well, Colossians chapter 2. This is a chapter before the passage that we read this morning. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built it up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so it's that thought that we're to be abounding in thanksgiving in these things of the Lord, in our relationship with Him. And as well, we see in 1 Thessalonians, probably, I think, one of the most clearest things about being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That a lot of times there can be times where we're wondering, what is the will of God for my life? And we, of course, want very specific things of, say, what job to take or whatever it might be. But we realize that God has things laid out where He says, this is what I want you to do. This is my will for your life. And we can, it's actually a good study to make. But we see that one big portion of that is that God's will for us is to be thankful. That's what He wants for us. That it's something that is very good for us, very healthy for us, very valuable for us to be there. And that's what He wants for us to have, to experience, and to become. And so we want to think about that. If being thankful is God's will for us, why is that His will? Why is it so important? And we could just try to say, well, God wants us to be thankful for His own sake, because He's done all this stuff for us, and the least we can do is be thankful for Him. And I think that's something for us, say as parents, that we could kind of relate to and say, okay, well, if I go to all the trouble of making a big birthday party for my child and a big cake and everything, if they're going to grumble and complain that the presents weren't good enough, that's going to upset me, and so I want them to learn to be thankful. And sometimes it's like, they better be thankful or else, kind of thing. But that's, we don't realize that's kind of us acting in the flesh sometimes when we get that attitude. God is different than that. And it's, so often it isn't just because of what it is coming for Him. We want to realize that He wants us to be thankful, not just for His sake. Much, much more, He wants us to be thankful for our own sakes. And so we wonder, well, why is it so important that I be thankful in life? What difference does it make? And the fact is, it's very important that we learn to be thankful, because if we're not, it makes us vulnerable to the devil's attacks. Because you think about it, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, of where did they live? They live in a place of absolute paradise. A place where they had an abundance to enjoy. That for us nowadays, that we have, if we're going to enjoy fruit, that there's not a lot of fruit trees that grow here in Saskatchewan and make it through the winter. And so we have to have it brought in. And when the fruit truck comes, it's always something where we usually spend more than we probably should getting this fresh fruit because we enjoy it so much. But the thing is, to live in a place where you had access to fresh fruit every day, all that you wanted, and there's such a variety there that you could never really get tired of it. That is, say, well, I ate so many peaches yesterday that I almost made myself sick eating peaches. Well, I can eat pears today or strawberries or something else, right? That you just think of the abundance that they enjoyed, and just the peace that was there. But what happened as the devil started to work in their hearts, and he said, well, what about this tree over here? Well, God says we can't eat that. And what does the devil basically try to get them to think? Well, God is depriving you of something, that you're missing out. God's being so mean to you by saying you can't eat of that tree, that he's lying to you when he's saying you're going to die if you eat that tree, that you need to just take it, and because you're God is being mean to you by not letting you have that. And we realize that was just a complete lie. But what's happened is that basically he convinced Adam and Eve to turn their back on the abundance that God gave them for the one thing that God said they couldn't have. And was it worth grabbing hold of that? Absolutely not. That they took it and they ate of it and they found God was true, the devil lied to us, and now there's dreadful consequences that have come upon our lives and upon all of humanity because of my lack of thankfulness. And you can think of just different things, different people through the history recorded in the Bible of where they weren't content with what they had, they weren't thankful for what they had, they went after something else, and it ended up causing great destruction. We think of David, of how he was the king, and he had more wives than he knew what to do with to start with, but then what happened, he decided, well, I'd like to have one more, and it, all the trouble that it caused. We just think of so many different kings and others through the Bible that they weren't content with what God gave them. They weren't thankful for what they had, and it led them to great trouble. And we see in the New Testament, spoken of in different places, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, where in Romans chapter 1 it really speaks of a descent of people into depravity, of how they're ending up turning away from the truth, turning unto idolatry, turning to great wickedness and other things. But we want to see in verse 21 of Romans chapter 1 really kind of where it starts. Because it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And so we see that they had the evidence in creation that God was real, they were without excuse, but they turned away from that. And what do we see there is that they weren't thankful. And when they weren't thankful what they had, they start pursuing after all these other things that were to their destruction. They got convinced by the devil again that it's what God laid out for them was not enough, that they need to pursue after something that ended up being to their own destruction. And we see as well in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." That in those verses we see a lot of in many ways, what is true of our own society and just how there's we are in perilous times and that there are many that despise those that are good, that love pleasure more than God, who love their own selves. But we see that in verse 2, that part of that whole definition and description is being unthankful. And so we want to recognize that the world that is turning away from God, part of the whole problem that's leading them that way is a lack of thankfulness, a lack of honoring God and showing gratitude to God for what they have. And so we want to realize if we're conformed to this world, that's the path we're going to head down to. We start grumbling and complaining, it doesn't end well for us. We think of the children of Israel in the wilderness, that they started to complain about the provision God had for them. And it said when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And he sent fiery serpents amongst them. But it never ends well for us if we complain. And so God's trying to teach us not to do that, to teach us to have that right attitude for our own good, for our own protection. And so we want to think of it in this way, that thankfulness is really an inoculation to temptation. That we think of that with different kind of diseases that we can catch. If you have the shot, you're inoculated against it, that can come and it doesn't affect you. It doesn't damage you like it would otherwise. And it's the idea of that, is that when we're thankful, that it's like an inoculation. The temptation can come, but it's not going to affect us. We're going to say, why would I want that when I look at all that God has done for me? Why would I turn away from Him when He's been so good to me? And so the more we're filled with thankfulness, the greater resistance we'll then have to the devil's attempts to deceive us and to derail us in our Christian lives. And so we want to realize that God's doing a work in us to make us more and more thankful. And so in that we want to realize is to teach us to become thankful, He's going to put us into situations where our ability to be thankful is going to be stretched. Because it's kind of the thing, if everything always goes perfect and we have our day always goes the way we want it, we never suffer loss, we never suffer need, it's pretty easy to be thankful in those moments. But it's times where the day doesn't go well, where pretty well everything we had planned didn't happen, something comes up that just kind of seems to ruin our whole day, the whole plan that we had, and we get into a place where it's like, how can I be thankful with what's just happened? And we want to realize it's not impossible. And we want to realize that God wants us to learn that in every situation we can give thanks. Because we, as we read in those two passages, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks." And it doesn't say in most things. It doesn't have an asterisk there that we look down and says, except for this and this and this and this. It's everything that He wants us to give thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5 that we read, where it says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we see that he's making it very plain that we're always to be giving thanks, and it's for all things. And all is that little three-letter word we have such a struggle with, that all can't mean all, does it? There has to be exceptions. In this situation, There's no possible way I can give thanks. I have kind of an excuse not to in this position that I'm in. And we realize, no, that's not what it says, that God wants us to be able to give thanks always for all things. And so we wonder, how can we do that? How can we learn to be able to be thankful? And so we want to think, first of all, with the thought of being thankful in all things, that we want to realize that no matter what circumstances we have, we are in, good or bad, that there are things that we can always be thankful in that situation. And the biggest thing, of course, is we can be thankful for God, for who He is, for all that He's done for us. We think of different things that we've already looked at a bit in the Psalms, where it talks about that we can be thankful for the remembrance of His holiness. We can thank God for being holy, because we know that because He's holy, He's going to do what's right. We can trust Him. He's never going to allow injustice to continue on with ever any kind of response or retribution. That we know He's going to be fair, and we need that. Because if we were counting on Him and He suddenly changed and was deceptive or didn't come through, then what position would we be left in? And certainly, when we've sinned, we're not maybe necessarily a big fan of His holiness, because it makes us feel guilty, makes us worry about the chastening He's going to give us, but we can be thankful that He is holy. We can be thankful that He chastens us so that we can be partakers of His holiness, that we can recognize what He's done for us. As well, we can be thankful for His mercy, that His mercy endureth forever. And that's something that with the mistakes we make, the failures that we make, we can be thankful that God is merciful. And that there's times where we think, well, I'm at the end. I'm at the end of my rope. I've failed too many times. He's going to be done with me. He's just going to basically smite me at some point, and I'm going to be done for. But yet we see that He shows mercy to us, that He is kind to us when we don't deserve it. And we see as well, as we looked at in Psalm 100, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We can be thankful that truth doesn't change, that we know that we can rely upon His word, that we can trust it, and we're not going to be ashamed for doing so. Most of all, of course, we realize we can be thankful for the gift of His Son, who gave His life to die for us. It talks about in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, that Jesus, though He was rich, He became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich, that He gave us His Son so that we might have eternal life as we trust in Him. That's something that in whatever situation we can say, even if the bottom has fallen out of my life, at least I know I'm saved. I can be thankful that Jesus provided that way of salvation so that one day I know this is just going to be a memory and I'll be with Him in heaven forever. And as well, we can be thankful. It speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we can have victory in life, and it's because of the Lord Jesus. That our circumstances don't have to overwhelm us. We can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's something that even though the situation is difficult, we realize it does not have to defeat me. It does not have to overwhelm me. God is bigger than this. He can get me through this, and it's going to be worthwhile to continue to trust in Him. So there's things, no matter what situation we find ourselves in everything, we can give thanks. And God is trying to teach us to do that. But then we realize God's not just asking us to give thanks in all things. He wants us to give thanks always for all things. And so we ask, well, how can we do that? If I get some kind of illness, how can I be thankful for that? If I experience some kind of tragedy or loss or suffering or betrayal, how can I be thankful for that? We think it's not even possible to do that. I can be thankful for other things. I can maybe be thankful that it could have been worse and it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But how can I be thankful for these things that are just so devastating and overwhelming and heart-wrenching? Well, we read in Romans chapter 8, and this is, I think, something we need to be reminded of, and it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That we want to realize all things work together for good. And why? Because God has a purpose. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. And we realize that Jesus went through great suffering, betrayal, injustice. So many different things happened to Him for us. And yet it was all part of God's plan to bring salvation to us all. And so we realize that even though I'm going through this hard thing, we realize, okay, this is what happened to Jesus. God's trying to teach me to become like Him. He's want to teach me to endure suffering. He wants to teach me to endure heartache and to learn to be thankful in the midst of that and for that. That as we understand that this is part of the process, that in the midst of it might be difficult, but as we learn later, we find out how necessary it was, and we learn to say, thank you, Lord, that this, I needed this. And it's kind of the thing, it often might take us years before we really realize why God brought different things into our lives. But we want to learn, even though we don't understand it now, that we trust God and say, thank you, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, this makes no sense to me, but I'm going to thank you for it and trust that you'll kind of lay things out to me later on as to why this was a good thing. And it reminds me years ago of Russ Gordon, that he'd had kind of quite a vibrant life, but then he contracted Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was just such an awful disease. Basically, it was like he was becoming a prisoner within his own body, where it was stopping functioning. He wasn't able to talk anymore. That as I visited him, he'd have to write things down, and that's how we communicated. But it was something that as we talked, as he neared death, that he came to know the Lord as Savior. And it was something that he articulated as he was, of course, not very easy to do, but it was the thought that he looked at it, that him getting Lou Gehrig's was a good thing. And we would wonder, how could a person ever think that? But he realized that if he was too busy living to think about dying, that if he just would have lived life as he was, he never would have been confronted with death, and he could have had some kind of massive heart attack and gone out in eternity never knowing the Lord as his Savior. But he realized, because this Lou Gehrig's was a definite death sentence for him, that he had to come to a point where, okay, I need to make sure that I'm ready to face the Lord. And he got that right, he got that settled, and so he looked at it that it was a hard thing, but it was a necessary thing. And that's something that we don't realize what's going on or what's happening, but we really have to understand that God's doing a work. There's things that are happening. It's for a reason. We don't understand, but in the end, we will. And sometimes what happens, God brings us through suffering because He wants to teach us how to have compassion for others when they're suffering. Sometimes our misery can become our ministry, that we see someone that's been hurt, and we say, I went through the same thing that they did. I can help them. I can be an encouragement to them. I can pray with them. I can cry with them. I can be there for them. And it's kind of the thing, at the moment that we went through it, the difficult time, We didn't understand what the purpose was, but it might be years later we realized God had me go through that tough part there because now He wants to use me to help someone else. And so it's learning that we don't understand why, and we may not understand for years why we go through difficult things. But as we learn to be thankful, as we have that attitude of gratitude, that no matter what, we're still going to be praising the Lord. We're still going to be thanking Him for what He's doing, even though we don't understand. Then the Lord can really bless us and use us, and it'll keep us from the tactics of the devil to try to get us off track, and it'll enable us to be used so much more to help other people. So as He desires of us, and as He seeks to do that work in us, let us, as His people, be a thankful people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. And Lord, we just pray that You would strengthen us and help us, that we would learn to be thankful no matter what situations we're in. Help us to realize that You are so good to us, and even though we don't understand things, You have a purpose, and we rejoice in time to come with the work that You're doing and what You are preparing us for. Just guide us, Lord, and throughout the remainder of this weekend and the remainder of this year and the remainder of our lives, that we would be thankful for You in all things and for all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand and